Yahweh, everybody. Great, great, great message in that song. Praise Yahweh. Glorify the King. How do we glorify Him? Well, we love Him and we keep His commandments. Haggai says in chapter 2, verse 9, the glory of the latter house. Now, what's it mean by the glory of the latter house? Well, it means it's going to be greater than the glory of the former house. In other words, the physical temple that was built in all of its glory, it's now just a pile of rubble. Mortar and stone fell to the ground. Matter of fact, every stone in that temple was torn down, not one stone remaining. Now, they have a wall in Old Jerusalem that they say was the site of the temple. That's not true. That was Herod's temple. It wasn't Yahweh's temple. But basically, now, Yahweh dwells in a temple not made by hands. Now, that's a truth. He came and He died, and now He dwells within the inward temple. That's your temple, if so be that you have Yahweh in Him. Now, if you don't have Yahweh in you, you're none of His. And Yahweh is a straight way, a narrow way, and only a few there be to find it. So we're just looking for the few, not the many. And we got a message tonight that'll thin down the crowd, and it really cuts to the chase of where the temple people are and where their revelations are. If you love Yahweh, you're going to keep His commandments. And tonight we're going to go into the Passover. This is the Passover season coming up. In the spring festival, or in the green ears of Abib, which is the green ears of barley. And so we're nearing that time. Well, here in East Tennessee today, we had snow, so I don't guess maybe that it's time yet. And so we're gonna talk to you, and we want you to get your Bibles. We're going into the mystery of the second Passover. Right up front, we're going to challenge you to give me one verse of Scripture where He died in the first Passover. And if you really get to looking at it, ladies and gentlemen, and understand the Scriptures, they verify that he died in the second Passover. Now, why would he die in the second Passover? Well, he was unclean. He had touched a dead man. I mean, he raised Lazarus from the dead, didn't have time to actually cleanse himself through the rituals of the purification process, as it's related here in John. And so then we've got a problem with some of the things that Christians would try to determine is that they believe that he died in the first Passover. And he didn't. Now, let me give you a scripture right off the bat. We've taught on this several times, but it's always in the season of Passover that we want to get this nailed down to you. And while I am getting to the scripture of St. John chapter 12, while you're turning there, and we're going to read the first verse, by the way, while you're turning there, I want to announce that we will be in Passover on the date of our Passover, which will be the second Passover. Let me just give you the dates of that right now so that we can clear that hurdle and get on with the program. Now, we're going to take the day of Passover on the 28th. That will be when we offer the lamb to our own table in a remembrance factor. We don't offer this lamb up to Yahweh. We kill the lamb and have a meal structured around the type of the Passover. That's what it was always for. It was a family meal, and they all shared it together, those who qualified. And we'll start that, if you want to make notes here, and we will be giving you the location later where we're going to be. We'll start that on the 28th. Now, on the night of the 27th, that's when we'll actually begin the festival with an old-fashioned foot washing. So if you'd like to be with us in an old-fashioned foot washing, that'll be on the night of, that's a Thursday in the week. It'll be on at 7, beginning at 7 p.m. on the 27th day of May. And you say, why so far out into May, Pastor Buddy? Well, that's what we're going to tell you about tonight. So you'll stay tuned, and I think and I hope and I pray that Yahweh will bless you, open up your understanding, because it is a spiritual understanding that these hidden mysteries in the second Passover would relate to you in your ability to conceive the seed of instruction. You see, there's a carnal mind, and then there's a traditional mind. Both of these is in error. Well, we keep the first Passover, Pastor Buddy, because Jesus said to keep the second Passover or the first Passover. Well, he didn't say that. And we got evidence that the Messiah, whom you call Jesus, whom we call Yahweh in a flesh body, Yahweh Shua, Yahweh the Savior, if you will, that he was alive, we can read it, on the first Passover. He didn't die. They didn't kill him. They branded him unclean. And they say themselves that they ain't going to kill him on the first one. But you can bet your bottom dollar that they got him in the second one when just a few. He was numbered with the transgressors, the unclean. And so, therefore, he died in the second Passover with a small crowd in Jerusalem. Received the bulk of the population of Israel who were commanded to come to the temple in Jerusalem to keep the Passover, the first one. But those that were in a far journey and couldn't or wasn't able to make it back in time or were unclean by some kind of ceremonial law of Moses that deemed them unclean, then they had to wait for the cleansing or the purification, as the Bible said. They had to be purified. And then the priest would have to deem them clean to keep the second one. And that's what they'd done. They knew that if they killed him in the first Passover, a large crowd there, that they would probably start a riot. And so they said, we're not going to kill him in our Passover. We'll just brand him unclean, and we'll get him in the second Passover. They knew he'd come back. They knew he was going to keep it. And it was already prophesied he was going to die, but it don't say which Passover he was going to be killed on, whether it was the first or second. Nobody in that I know of, outside of us here in our group of the Yahweh International House of Believers, that we're the only one that I know of, and I hope there's others that would join us in this teaching, because it's biblical. If I was to challenge you tonight to give me one verse of Scripture where he died on the first Passover, and you could read it out of the Bible, you'd be well justified to keep the first one. Because, remember, we're only keeping it as a memorial, and so it would be very important for you to keep the Passover at the time of the the memorial understanding of your knowledge through the Scriptures. You would want to do it on the day exactly that he died. Well, it's a foregone conclusion. Now, let me get on to the rest of this before I start preaching, because I can't hardly hold myself here. On the 27th, we'll have an old-fashioned foot washing. That was the last time that they searched the houses, through the houses, with the candles. And they removed the leaven. And if you go to John, St. John's Gospel 13, in chapter 1, you'll see that they were keeping this ritual of removing leaven and having their last meal of leavened bread, because they didn't waste anything back then. And so this was a ceremonial, the preparation of getting ready, cleaning herself up. It was an ideal of cleansing and purifying. And so then on the 13th, the night of the 13th, which began beginning, if you will, at the sundown, the 13th day passed. Well, that evening, while the 14th day began to dawn, in the evening, between the evenings, they were there, and they were in the second Passover. We're going to prove it, because the Bible would indicate that he was alive in the first Passover, and they didn't kill him. By their own Jews' admittance, that when they decided to kill him, they said, but not on our feast day. In other words, not on our first Passover. They deemed themselves clean and worthy to kill somebody. Now, they were real clean, and they were fixing to do just exactly like the Bible said. They were fixing to slaughter the lamb. And did they ever slaughter the lamb? And we only do it on the second Passover to remember the day he died, exactly in the second Passover. And I think by the time that we get through this series, it'll probably be a three-part series, because it takes us a long time to get over this, because there's so much Bible on it. And yet nobody preaches it. They just believe that the Bible says, well, he died on the Passover. And to them, that's only the Passover is the one that the Jews kept. He didn't die on the one that the Jews kept. I want to make that point to you. Now, like I say, on Thursday, the 27th, on that evening, we will have singing and rejoicing and praising. And we'll have a meal schedule for that night, just a small meal, nothing fancy, sort of like the Messiah did on the evening where he began. This is on the 14th day, remember now. Now remember, on the 14th, late in the morning, he was arrested, or in that night, somewhere after midnight, he went into the garden and prayed for this cup to pass from him. And so there, he's laying on the earth, praying till his sweat become as great drops of blood, and he's trying to overcome this impending death. And then the officers came through the deception of just a few hours before that. Judas, who betrayed him, put his hands in the sop and dipped, and was convicted. But he didn't have his feet washed, ladies and gentlemen, because just as soon as he got the sop and dipped it, he went out, and it was night. Now, this proves that it was in the night of the 14th. In other words, the beginning of the 14th day. And then he was arrested, and all night long they interrogated him with Herod's henchmen, and finally had to pass him over to Pilate. Early in the morning, Pilate saw him at 9 o'clock at the convenient hour of the court. And so then he couldn't find any fault with him, washed his hands, and returned him back to the Jews, because he found out that he was from Galilee. And when he found out he was from Galilee, Herod was over Galilee. So Pilate, not wanting to kill him no way, and wanting to get rid of this man because he had had a dream, or his wife had, that they should have nothing to do with him in trying to treat him evil. And so Pilate sent him back to Herod, and this when they put the crown on him, they smote him, and they suffered him, beat him unmercifully until 12 o'clock high, when he was impaled upon the torture stake. Now, from 12 noon, 12 high, they impaled him, and then they tortured him. But he died at exactly the time that the Sanhedrin, Hebrews, would command to begin to kill the lamb at between the two evenings. That's when they killed. They killed from 3 down to 6 o'clock. And they slaughtered literally thousands of lambs. In this case, they didn't have that many lambs to slaughter, because it was the second Passover that they impaled him, and there was only a few people in Jerusalem. The crowd had all gone home, with the exception of the onlookers and those who would be family members that attended on behalf of their families who had been deemed unclean to keep the second Passover. In other words, they had a bloody issue or a running issue, whether they had a sexual a sickness or something of that nature, or whether it was something that would deem them to be declared unclean and not to appear in public. These are the ones that came, and these are the defiled ones. He was numbered with the transgressors, where the first law had bound them as transgressors and not worthy to take it. And so then they put him unworthy to participate in the first Passover. And he was, and we're going to prove that. Now, let me get on with the announcement, if I can ever get through this without preaching to you, because I feel like preaching and teaching to you. On the 28th of May, we have the day of the second Passover. And then on a Saturday, the 29th, begins the seven-day feast of unleavened bread. Now remember, they couldn't eat the unleavened bread until the night of the 15th, on the full moon, on the high moon, as we call a high Sabbath. That's when they ate the meal prepared on the 14th day. That's why it's called Preparation Day. And they had prepared the meal, and the theme was to eat it in their homes, take their portion that they had brought. Each man brought a lamb to represent his family, and it had to be without blemish. And the priest, the Levites, they would examine this lamb, and if it was declared unclean, it would not be killed in the first Passover. They would have to exchange that unclean lamb, or a blemished lamb, they'd have to exchange it for an unblemished one. Well, they judged the Messiah, who was unblemished, but they judged him with a blemish. And the conviction or their justification was that he had touched a dead body. Now, the second Passover is wrapped in this great mystery that many people miss. They don't understand. They don't study. They don't pray. They never fast. And they're not called. How can you hear without a preacher? And how can he preach except it be sent? Faith come by hearing and hearing by the word. Revelation. I will not reveal anything to the people except I first reveal it to my prophets. If you're following a blind prophet or a prophet that calls himself a prophet and the things he teaches don't rack up with the word of Yahweh, then you need to get away from that prophet. You need to separate yourself from him and come over to the few and the straight and the narrow way, a few there be that find it. Now, again, on the 29th, we have the Sabbath, the high Sabbath of May, just like you would have it on the 29th of April in the first Passover. And, of course, we keep the lunar. We don't keep the Gregorian, and we'll go into those later on. And then we go through Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, which is in June, where we keep 7 days of unleavened bread, and the end of the feast is on Saturday at the 5th of June, way out this time because of the 13th month application, where they had an extra month, and so then it begins later than it normally does. Now, next year, it will still be in May, but it'll be early May instead of latter May. Now, there's the schedule. If you'd like to attend, you can call me and get directions to the festival site, and you can come if you qualify, and you will become welcome to keep the second Passover, and there we'll do some teaching on that. On that very fact and prove it. And we'll bring out things there that we don't bring out things on the radio. There's some things that we just don't teach on the radio or the public airwaves because these things are sacred. And this meat is reserved for those who have transformed themselves into the children of the King, the second Passover. Now let's go. And we're going to get into the Old Testament. We're going to give you the standard gestalt building or the platform or the rock or the foundation of the preeminent feast. And the second Passover, which is a little known feast of the Old Testament, it was implemented by Moses at the request of certain obedient Israelites who did not want to miss the important celebration of the Passover itself. They had been ceremoniously declared unclean at first Passover, and they inquired as to whether or not that they could still partake of the feast. And the biblical story occurs in Numbers 9, 1 through 14. Now, isn't that strange that 9 is the resurrection number, and verses 1 through 14, and that's the count up to the end of the 15th day or the 14th day when the lamb was killed at 3 o'clock and the lamb hung on the torture stake and he died at the 9th hour. That's 3 o'clock on your time zone. And he was down before 6 o'clock. And he was in the tomb on the high Sabbath before it began. That would be the 15th high Sabbath of the lunar calendar. I don't know why everybody can't see that, but, you know, they can't. Now, once that he was there, we know as the first wave offering on the 16th, he was already up and at them. And so then he began to fulfill the prophetic prophecy of a Passover. And in this case, the second Passover, he was numbered with the transgressors. And a lot of people think that was the two thieves that was on the torture stake. Well, it was, but it has more spiritual significance that those who were deemed unclean are unworthy to keep the first one, and he joined this crowd, the ceremonial unclean. He was numbered unclean. Simply because of the fact of here in John 12, verse 1. And then the Messiah, Yahweh Yeshua in the flesh body, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. See, they didn't want him to even participate with Lazarus. They knew that he had died, and they knew that he had been raised up. And here in the 11th chapter of the book of John, now, a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. Now, that's not far out of the city of Jerusalem. And it was that Mary, which anointed Yahweh with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Now, we know that he was sick, and it was getting toward the Passover time. And in the first Passover. Now remember, he was deemed unclean that he couldn't partake of this because it happened on before the first Passover. He didn't have time to cleanse himself in the ceremony of the unclean. And therefore, verse 12, and then he said to his disciples, Yahweh, if he sleep, he doeth well. Howbeit the Messiah spake of this death. But they thought that they had spoken of him taking a rest and sleep. Then he said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Now, from that time, when nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs, that he told them that Lazarus would raise again. And so then, we have this account here of the Messiah raising Lazarus from the dead. Now, look at verse 47 of 11, John. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, what can we do? For this man doeth many miracles. See, he was building up a large following. If we let him alone, now see, they had to get him, they had to kill him. If we let him alone, all men will believe on him. And the Romans shall come and take away both our place and our nation. And one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest, that same year said unto them, you know nothing at all. Nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and the whole nation perish not. Now here, ladies and gentlemen, in the midst of these snakes, here is a man, the high priest, who had a prophetic understanding of the gospel of the Torah. He knew that somebody was going to die. And this spake he not of himself, but being the high priest that year, he prophesied that the Messiah should die for the nation. Oh, man, it's right. I mean, this man had a revelation. And not for the nation only, but for those he should gather together in one, the children of Yahweh. Not the world children. The children of Yahweh that were scattered abroad. Go not to the Gentiles or the heathen. But go only to the scattered sheep abroad. Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 10. From that day forth, they took counsel together for him to put him to death. Therefore, the Messiah walked no more openly among the Jews, but went hence into a country near to the wilderness, into a city called Ephraim, and there continued with his disciples. And the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand. See there? Now, here is Lazarus being raised. The first Passover was at hand. So now they're putting their heads together. They're plotting and planning to kill this man, whom they say that they hated. If we let this man alone, all people's going to believe on him. They're going to really believe on him, and so we got to kill this man and get him out of the way. If we don't, man, they're going to take away our jobs because he's teaching against us. He's teaching against the Sanhedrin. He's preaching against Moses' law. That's what they assumed. And so then, here we are, caught in a dilemma. Now, let's go quickly over to the 26th chapter of the book of Matthew. We're going to start at the first verse. Matthew 26:1. And it came to pass that when the Messiah had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, you know that after 2 days, now see, this is before the Passover, is the feast of Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Not to be crucified. If he said to be crucified, then he had been crucified on the first one. He said to be. Well, he was to be crucified, but that leaves it up in the air of which one. Now, we're going to prove which one. Without a shadow of a doubt. And we challenge you, people who keep the first Passover, for your justificational reasons, why that you keep it. If you try to keep it in an obedience factor that you've got to keep it, you'd have to go back to Jerusalem where the temple was. All Israel at that time in Israel, and those who were scattered outside of Israel, who if they could make it back in time, if they could make it back in time, they were to make it to the first Passover at the place where it was appointed that his name was at. Now, let's find out. The feast of the Passover, where that the Son of Man will be betrayed to be crucified. Now, we know that in the first one they hatched up a plan to betray him, and that they decided to crucify him, but not in the first Passover. We're going to prove that to you. They assembled together the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders, and the people unto the palace of the high priest, who was Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take him by subtlety, or by secret, and kill him directly. Now, they plotted and planned how to kill this interesting man that had won the approval of the poor, the outcast, the lame, the halt, the blind. I mean, he was making a tremendous name for himself, and he was preaching against the Sanhedrin and the temple at Jerusalem. He said it's a temple of snakes. Well, it didn't sound like a temple of Yahweh, did it? At least Yahweh wasn't in charge, that's for sure. We find out now who's in charge. Here they assemble together the scribes. Beware of the scribes. You know why that you should beware of the scribes? Because they are vicious snakes who will plot and plan, even changing the word in places where it would benefit them to put the glory and the light upon themselves that they were the righteous inheritors. And Christ preached against them, saying that they weren't. They consulted that they might kill him. Verse 5 of the 26th chapter of the book of Matthew would enlighten you if you could get a grip on this. I suggest that you turn there with Pastor Buddy and read it tonight. But they said, now who's they? The scribes, the Pharisees, and the chief priest. They said, not on the feast day. Well, you know when he was supposed to be killed on the 14th day? The feast of Passover. The 14th. He was to be killed on the 14th so that he might fulfill that he was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And the Passover was a type and shadow. And so he properly would have been killed on the 14th day. And he was, but not on the first Passover. Not on the feast day. Let's not kill him now. Let's kill him, but let's not do it on our feast day. Let's don't do it on the first Passover. Now, if you will, look right across the page of your King James, where I'm reading out of, draw a line from verse 5, almost directly right across, and I've got an arrow pointing toward this scripture to highlight it.
to the 17th verse, and we'll see if they killed him. Now, we know that the time of the first Passover is 2 days when they planned and plotted, and then they prepared. The next day was preparation day, and then the 14th day was on them. Now, the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now, wait a minute. He's supposed to be killed on the 14th, but here on the feast day of Unleavened Bread, that would be at least the night of the 15th rather than the 14th. He had already been dead. He should have already been dead if he killed him on the first Passover. Here he is alive. I'm going to prove it to you. A dead man don't talk. People don't ask dead men questions. Nobody was talking to Lazarus, but the king, when he said Lazarus arise, he was the only one talking to him. Lazarus is dead, but here the Messiah's not dead. Because he had raised Lazarus from the dead and deemed himself with the witness of the Jews who witnessed that he did actually raise this man. And the people, his fame, it shouted far and wide all over the raging tide when this man from Galilee came into town with this notable miracle that he could raise the dead. Now, on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and I dare anybody to tell me that's on the 14th, I dare anybody that's under my sound of my voice, you be preacher, prophet, or whatever you think you are, you call me Pastor, but you call me tonight, and I'll give my phone number at the end of the message if you can stand it. You can call me. If he's dead, how can they say, now on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to the Messiah, saying to him, where will that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? Now they registered him unclean, and he knows he's got to come back in 30 days. And so he goes to a town called in the wilderness, a town called Ephraim. Now that's part of this puzzle, but we won't get into it right now, but we probably will later on, and we've been into that many times before, why he went to the town of Ephraim instead of the town of Bethlehem, Judea. He went home, but he didn't go to Bethlehem, Judea, because that wasn't home. His home was up in a little town in Bethel, where Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob built their altars, where Joseph inherited and passed it on to Ephraim. And this is an Ephraimite coming from the birthright son of Joseph through Ephraim to be the king or the overcomer. And ladies and gentlemen, here he is on the first Passover, on the 15th day, he's alive. Well, you say, well, what does it matter? It don't really matter. It don't matter when you want to neutralize it and say it doesn't matter. Well, if it don't matter, what are you getting on my case for keeping the second Passover for? When I'm getting on your case for keeping the first one, because if you want to keep the one he died in, you ought to do it in the one he remembered him. That would be the second Passover. Because I've got news for you. I've just proved to you, beyond a reasonable shadow of a doubt, and I can read in more scriptures, in a mouth of two or three, that a word be established. And we can prove to you that he was alive on the first day of Unleavened Bread. Now, I'll give you the schedule here off of our lunar calendar just a while ago. The Passover day was the 14th. That was the slaughter of the lambs. That's the day he died, at 3 o'clock, according to the Bible. But here he couldn't have died on the first 14th day of the Passover because he was alive on the first day of Unleavened Bread of the first Passover, being branded unclean along with his disciples because they'd all been down there at the gravesite where Lazarus had been raised. And this was justification to send the large crowd home. I hope you get this. You said, Pastor Buddy, you just ain't got the Holy Ghost. Ladies and gentlemen, I've spent more hours on an altar praying for the baptism of the Holy Ghost than most of these young whippersnappers that call themselves smart. And they're so deluded with strange fire and doctrine that they don't even know what the Holy Ghost is. The Holy Ghost is truth. It's long-suffering. It's patience. It's kindness. And if I tell you the truth in such a crude way of speech,
yet it's so kind, because anything that could cause you to see the light and to save yourself from this untoward generation, that's the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I've been preaching this message for over 50 years, unrepentant and unrelenting against the devil and against the ignorance and against the fear and against the superstition of these whippersnappers that run around here thinking they know everything, that he died on the first Passover. Well, I'm challenging you right now. You come on my show and you prove it. You get you a verse of Scripture and you boogie right up to the altar here and get your feet in the fire. We'll see how much heat you can take. Because, ladies and gentlemen, on the first day of unleavened bread, he was asked a question by his disciples, who themselves had been branded all unclean. They'd all hugged Lazarus. They'd all touched him. They touched a dead body. That disqualified them from the first Passover. I hope you can see it. And it gave the Jews the legitimate reason for not killing him on their feast day, the first Passover, and waiting for the large crowd to dissipate and go home. And then when the small crowd of unclean, those who had an issue, or those in a far journey that could get back, and therefore they killed him on the 14th day of the second Passover, which is coming up, by the way, on the 28th of May for the second Passover. You want to do it on his Remembrance Day? You want to do it in unison of the prophetic word? You want to get a revelation? Everybody that comes to our Passover comes with a revelation. They come with a knowledge. They come. This is why they come, to remember him. We don't keep the Passover because we have to. That was something that was kept up under the law, shut up under the law. We keep it because he said, do this forever in remembrance of me. It was a family meal. We use it. We don't kill the lamb as the lamb's blood to cover us. The original lamb that died in the second Passover on the 14th day, 2,000 years ago or thereabout, that's the lamb that we remember. We could kill 10,000 lambs and eat the body of 10,000 lambs. We don't offer it up. We don't throw it to the dogs, or we don't burn it in its entirety. We kosher kill that lamb. And we make us a meal. Oh, God, that's sacrilegious. Now, if you was having a pig roast, I'd be there. You see, they'll eat swine and wipe their mouth and say they've done no wrong. But they wouldn't dare to watch a lamb because it's so against their spirit of the carnality. They don't even know why, but they just detest anybody that would kill a little old lamb because they think they're defending the Messiah. You are blessing the Messiah when you do what he said to do. He said, you bring a lamb before the congregation and kill it before all of the congregation, and you let your children watch it, and you let them learn why you're doing it, and you answer their question when they ask you why you're doing it, you answer their question. And then you'll get the types and shadows that was given under the law as a physical, carnal way of introducing you to the spiritual revelation of the Lamb that now dwells in your heart richly by faith. So you're not doing it because you're commanded to do it. You're doing it because you are commanded to do it in remembrance. And it's a family meal. You have all of the sacraments that are associated with it. We wash feet like he did in John 13:1. But if you'll notice there, that wasn't on Passover. That was 2 days before Passover. And that had to be the second one because we done proved he is alive in the first one. Now, I don't know how much more that you needed this, but we can go on and on and on and on and on with the mystery. When you see the story of the overcomer theme in the story of Hezekiah, and these verses that I'm going to mention to you, Hezekiah, notice that he was an obedient believer according to 2 Kings 18, verse 3 through 6. Second, when the king of Assyria threatened to destroy Hezekiah and all of Judah, Hezekiah seeks Yahweh, and he answers through his prophet Isaiah. Isaiah brings a word to Hezekiah, prophesying of the king's destruction of Jerusalem. And that's in Isaiah 37, verses 21 through 38. Now, part of that prophecy included the following sign given to Hezekiah. Isaiah chapter 37, and I'll read it. This shall be a sign to you. You shall eat this year such as grows of itself, and the second year that springs from the same. Also in the third year, sow and reap, plant vineyards, eat the fruit. And the remnant who have escaped of the house of Judah shall take root downward and bear fruit upward. Verse 32, for out of Jerusalem shall go a remnant, and those who shall escape from Mount Zion, the zeal of Yahweh's host will do this. Now, if you compare verse 30 above with Leviticus 25, verse 11, you'll see that Yahweh here gives Hezekiah a jubilee sign. Israel was to neither sow nor reap each 50th year. And everybody says they keep the Sabbath, but they don't even know when the 50th year comes around. They keep the law. But they don't, you know, you ask, I tell people when they say, well, they're a keeper of the law. And I'm not against anybody that tries to keep the law, because it will be better for you to try to keep it and be obedient to it. But you cannot keep the law to perfection because of a blood of a goat, a blood of a bull, or a blood of a heifer. Never was a lamb offered for a sin offering. Never. So on the Day of Atonement, we have what we call the scapegoat. One goat offered, and one goat gets to escape. That's the nature of human, the carnal mind. That has to die. That is the goat that died. Now, the one that escaped was your spirit man when he was led to the wilderness, just like the Messiah, went to the wilderness as a scapegoat. In the book of John here where we read, 11:54, St. John, where he went to the wilderness. Now, he came riding into the city on the time of the time that they put up the lambs on the very 10th day. We're going to prove all that to you. He came right in on schedule. Everything was designed as a type and shadow of fulfillment of the covenant of the old covenant, where the blood of goats, the blood of bulls, the blood of heifers could only keep you for 1 year. Here come the eternal sacrifice under a new covenant. Not under the law of Moses, but under the law of the new covenant, he gave you a new reason to remember him. And so then, you don't do it to justify yourself from sin. You do this as a remembrance, and so Yahweh can look back as those in the past look forward. You hear now in the time of his resurrection, who did eat and drink with them after he rose from the dead, according to Acts chapter 10, verse 36. And so then, the covenants and the festivals were going on even into the time of the Apostle Paul, who said, I must, by all means, keep this feast that cometh at Jerusalem. Now, when it was Passover, because we know that he got caught. And that was Pentecost, I'm sorry, in Pentecost. But in other places, he got caught in a journey where he had to keep the Passover. Now, I want to ask you a question. Which one do you think he kept? If he was a far journey, separated from the commonwealth of Israel, and we know that he was in the 18th chapter of the book of Acts. We can read it, and we're going to verify it later on, and give you the verse and scriptures where that Paul kept the Passover and didn't sail away from Philippi until after the days of unleavened bread. After the days of unleavened bread. That's a Passover, ladies and gentlemen. And so Paul was still keeping it after Christ arose. And for you that say, well, we don't do that anymore now. He's already rose up, and we don't keep that old law no more, Pastor Buddy. It wasn't the law. It was a remembrance factor. It was the new covenant of the eternal Lamb. And we celebrate his death, his burial, and his resurrection through types and shadows, but we do it in remembrance, not in a commandment factor. If you love Yahweh, you'll keep his commandments. If you love Yahweh, you'll understand what I'm talking to you. So Hezekiah kept the second Passover, as we know in the Bible, when he kept it, we know that he partaked of the second Passover, and he's the only person ever mentioned by name as having celebrated the feast of second Passover, and it was for a very prophetic reasoning that he faithfully kept the second Passover. And you know why? Because the priesthood had got so polluted and tainted that he could not, in time, cleanse them to where that they would qualify to keep the first one. And so it took 30 more days, just like the Messiah, who had been branded unclean and numbered with the transgressors and those who had missed the first Passover for various reasons. Now, I want to close out here because my time is coming on far too quickly. We'll be on part two tomorrow night at 11 around the world on WWRB 3.185. You don't want to miss it. We'll bring in the other things that would fascinate you about the second Passover. And we hope that you study out what I give you here. We don't have nothing against those that keep the first Passover, except those that do don't have any understanding. They don't have any spiritual understanding in their body. They're afraid if they don't keep the first one, they broke the commandment. Ladies and gentlemen, you cannot keep the first Passover unless you went back where it was originally at the last Passover, when the walls and the building was tore completely down and the sheep was scattered into a far journey. Now, I want to ask you a question. What law comes into effect now that you're in a far journey? You say, well, now I'm over here and this is New Jerusalem and now I'm at home. Yeah, but you were separated from the commonwealth. You were driven out for your transgressions. And when you were in that far land, just like Hezekiah, couldn't find enough people sanctified to keep the first one. And if you say you're without sin and you're able to keep the first Passover and you're perfect, you join the Pharisees and the scribes, and that's exactly what you are. You fell from grace and through your own steadfastness, and you are blind, can't get a revelation, and don't understand the mysteries and the covenant and the memorial of the reason that we keep the Passover. And that's as plain as I can make it. Now, let me tell you how that you can get in touch with us here at the Shepherd's Call Radio Ministries, brought to you by all of the faithful tithers to the house of Yahweh. And we really appreciate those that really stick with us and put their money and their tithes and the offerings right where that we can give it to you as a present. These things are being offered to you as a present of those who tithe and commit to keeping our message going. These people believe in the message. The one that I preached tonight, they firmly believe it with all their heart, all their soul, all of their mind. And we're challenging anybody out there that says that Christ died in the first Passover. We're giving you a challenge to come on our radio show and prove it. We want you to step up to the plate and take your bat like Mickey Mantle and swing for the fences. Because we believe that you're going to strike out because you ain't got any word. And me being a searcher of the Scripture for 50 years, have never found one Scripture where he died on the first Passover. He died on the second, and that's a mystery. That's an element of the mystery. There is a way that seemeth right. Those who keep the first one think they're right, but you're dead wrong. And ladies and gentlemen, if you don't have a revelation, the Bible said people without a vision will perish. If you follow the blind, you're going to wind up in a ditch with them. If you want to follow those who have a revelation, get in the plan. Prove it by the word. Confirm it with the signs following. And let Yahweh bless you going in and coming out and make you the head and not the tail. Now, you can write me. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284. That's in New Tazewell, Tennessee. That's the zip 37824. Now, again, that's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. If you'd like to call me tonight, I'm live around the world. That's Pastor Buddy. That is area code 423-626-2172. Again now, that's Pastor Buddy, 423-626-2172. And you can call me. I'm live right here tonight around the world. We never do a recorded message. We haven't yet. And we've been on the radio for many, many years. And we do them all live directly to you and for your understanding and for your enlightenment. We're not here to show off. We're not here to be braggadocious. We're here to give you the word and the signs of follow and proving it in the mouth of two or three witnesses and challenge anybody that believes that he died in the first Passover. You've got you some time to come on with me, and we'll record your message, and we'll see what you've got. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sponsored tonight by Dr. Gary, 1-877-289-7439, a great man of Yahweh. And if you would like to help us, just call Doc, Dr. Gary. It means a lot to him and a lot to me and a lot to our faithful believers. If you would call Dr. Gary and tell him that you heard Pastor Buddy on WWRB 3.185 and that you want to help participate in the gospel. Now, again, we're sponsored by Dr. Gary, 1-877-289-7439, and my good friend Brother Paul up in the great state of Michigan, 1-800-253-2748. Call Paul up and tell him you heard Pastor Buddy, and we would really enjoy that. Well, we got to get out of here. The clock on the wall is almost caught up with us. We'll see you tomorrow night, live around the world. WWRB 3.185. Until then, keep your head in the Bible, read and pray and trust, and bless Yahweh in the second Passover. I'll see you tomorrow night, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I love you.